Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today we're going to look at an Easter hunt. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful for the love that you bestow upon us day by day, when we're aware of it and when we are not. We thank you for your watchful care. We thank you for the plan that you laid from the beginning of our age, that we may have a chance at redemption and recovery and fellowship with you through the sacrifice and this crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We're beginning Holy Week. We say that loosely because we know that some of our traditions are not necessarily scripturally accurate, but they still are God-honoring, so we're okay with that. But today we're going to look at one of them that's maybe not as easily acceptable for some people. We're looking at an Easter hunt. We're not looking at an Easter egg hunt, but we're going to have our own little hunt for Easter. And I hope you enjoy this. We'll take a break from other things just to be able to get to enjoy an Easter hunt. We know that, and I say this many, many, many times. Well, let's read our scripture first. Let's read a scripture first. Let's start in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25. This is one that I refer to a lot. And actually, if you think of our program being discovering God's hidden treasures, this one is very applicable for us in this program, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. I often say that God hides things not from us, but for us. And people have a difficulty with that. Well, why should it be hidden? Why shouldn't it be plain? Well, it is if you are a king who has honor to search out the matter. But sometimes people get confused on that. Why does God hide things for us instead of, you know, he doesn't hide things from us, he hides things for us. But if you think of the kids and their traditional Easter egg hunt, if you ever did that for little children, you know, we make all these beautifully colored eggs, et cetera. We don't just buy them and buy them in plastic, but we actually make them. And then what do? You hide them. You're not hiding them from the children. You're hiding them for the children. You hide them, but you hide them for them to discover it. It's not, if, let me tell you this. If God wanted to hide something from us so that we could never discover it, we would never discover it. That's what the Bible is very, very clear, that he alone knows the time that the Lord will return. He alone knows the time of the rapture. He alone knows the time of the end of the age. And he ain't telling nobody. So you can hunt all you want. You will never find that out. But there are things that he conceals. You know, if God wants to hide something, it's hidden. But he doesn't say that he hides it. He says he conceals the matter. Well, to conceal it means, okay, it's hidden. But conceal means it's covered up. But it can be found. And sometimes we need special revelation to find these things, don't we? Anyway, and other people, they may be plain to everybody else. I always think of Simon Peter jumping up and saying, you know, when Jesus is saying, who do men say I am? Who do you say I am? And he jumps up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that was this glorious moment. Jesus was that all along, but at that moment, a man had made a discovery. It was the truth, but it had been kind of concealed. But God had given Peter a revelation. Remember, Jesus replied, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. All the searching that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of the great scribes and scholars had never discovered it. But God gave Peter a revelation. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're talking about an Easter hunt. So we started with that verse that says it is God's glory to conceal a thing, but it's man's honor, the king's honor, to discover it, to search it out. So we're going to be honorable kings today, and we're going to search something out. And what we're going to look at is something that actually has, there's been a thread throughout the scriptures. Now, what do we, it was funny because I had been, for one of my patients, I'd just been reading, and been reading Ephesians. And I just went again through how glorious God revealed what the end result of the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, what really happened. They knew great things were happening, but they did, but until God revealed it, they didn't really get it, you know? If you've seen little children, they'll squeal with delight when they discover a little egg hidden. But it's only when they open it, you know, like these little plastic ones you put prizes inside, they're delighted to find the egg. But it's only when it's opened, or if it's a foil-covered egg and they discover there's chocolate inside. So there's delight in the finding, but it's when that thing is opened and fully revealed that you get the majesty, the magnificence, the totality of what was found. So there have been things that God conceals, and we're excited to find them, but then later it's revealed to us what exactly it was. I'm sure that Joseph was very glad that he was not killed or left in prison. He was very, very glad that he was alive in Egypt. But it was only later revealed to him the real purpose of him being down there was for his brethren to be saved, and so on. I mean, that happens all the time. You know, that later we discover the fullness of what happened. So we're going to look at these, and we're going to kind of get a little bit of a buildup of how, of what happened, what came to pass on Easter that is a mystery. Remember, we have an Easter hunt. It's a mystery. So let's go back clear to Genesis. You know me. If it's there, it's going to be the very root of it will be in Genesis. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22, and this is sprinkled throughout. This is about one of the first times that it's mentioned. I think it's actually mentioned in 18 first, but I kind of like this way it's translated here. In Genesis 22, verse 18, it says, it's talking about Abraham. And he said, and in thy seed, in the seed of Abraham, shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So it was not just secured for Israel, but all nations will be blessed in Abraham's seed. Now, that's not news. We know that. But watch this. You see that there are hints, if I can say that, of these things. They're not the evidence of these were all the way scattered through the Bible. And we can't hit all of them, but I'm going to hit a few. We had to hit Genesis. Then I want us to turn to the book of Psalms. There are two verses in Psalms that we'll look at. Then we'll look at one of the prophets, and that should give us enough ground, I think. Okay, so we're now going to look in the book of Psalms. And am I in the wrong place? Psalm 22. Psalm 22, again, it was Genesis 22, now Psalm 22. We're going to look at a verse that's common, but we'll see a thread sewn through here. Verse 27, and all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. So it's not just about Israel, that the promise, there is some promise that we will worship God, that all the nations, all the Gentile world will worship God, and that he is the governor of all nations. Okay, so we're still in Psalms. Flip over to Psalm 67. And actually, I'm going to read the entire psalm for us, or you read it with me, or read it to yourself, and I go get a cup of coffee. Anyway, Psalms 67, we'll read the entire thing. So you see, I'm not just picking out a particular verse. Okay, and this psalm starts, God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause thy face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known among the earth, thy saving health among all nations. So the healing of God belongs to all nations. The saving health. And so not just healing, but salvation. The saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations, plural, be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations, plural, upon the earth. Verse 5, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear or reverence him. So this psalm makes it very, very plain that that the lordship of God is not just over a particular nation and the other nations are cast adrift, but that he is saving and healing power is for all nations, and that he will govern all nations, and that all nations will rejoice and be glad and fear him and worship him. All right. So one more. So you kind of see this thread is going through here, aren't you? So now we're going to do one more. Let's take one from the prophets, just because this is one of my favorite verses. And so I just want you to see this is woven through the scriptures. We are now in the book of Isaiah. He's the prophet's prophet, isn't he? Isaiah. And we're going to look at chapter 2. So clear at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. And chapter 2, verse 2. And it shall come to pass. Well, let's back up to 1 so we'll get it in context. And the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days, well, these are last days in many ways, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And look at this phrase, and all nations shall flow unto it. And the people shall say, come, come ye, let us go up to that mountain of the Lord. Anyway, so all nations shall flow into it. So there have been hints of these things all along, aren't there? Okay, that said, we're going to look at our mystery, all right? And we're going to look at two places that I hope that you will see this as far better hunt than for colored eggs or for chocolate bunnies. This is, to me, so thrilling. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3. Now, for those of you, you know, who listen to me go over and over and over again, when we look at something, we have to look at, you know, to whom it was written, what was the purpose. Now, we read those Old Testament references. They were not necessarily written directly to us. So they're for our information, aren't they? They're to, for us to understand something. But I don't have to take them as a direct commandment because they are still God's truth. But the purpose that many of those narratives were recorded were not for me to take to heart. I don't have to worry about not eating that which splits the hoof and chews the cud, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with those, a lot of those rules, but they're not necessarily directly up to us. Ephesians, however, let's go to the, and many of the epistles, not all the epistles, but many of the epistles. You read at the very first line says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus. Okay, that lets me out. Oops. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So to those of us who consider ourselves faithful members of the Church of Jesus Christ, of the body of the Lord, of the household of God, these are directly to us. And so Ephesians, it's one of the very, it's, I tell you, Paul wrote some really well-constructed things. This epistle to the Ephesians, chapters 1, 2, and 3, talk about what God has done for us and in us. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about because of that, this is how we should live for God, live with others, live for God. And it's important to realize that that's the order God put it in. He did not say, look, do chapters 4, 5, and 6. 4 starts, wherefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. And so it starts out telling us how we should walk, with lowliness, meekness, with endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. But it doesn't say now that you've done all these things, chapters 1, 2, and 3 apply, which is where he tells us marvelous things like, let me flip back here real quickly, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but that which is to come. He doesn't say if you walk then this will be available to you. Rather, it's very, I know it seems so simple, but it's so important the way God framed it. He said, I've done this and this and this for you. I've made you, you know, accepted in the beloved. I've lifted you up. I've raised Christ from the dead and I put him at my right hand. And now all this power, all of this forgiveness, all of this is available to you. Now, therefore, that's why chapter 4 starts with wherefore, which means because of the things that just happened, now because of that, this is how you should walk in lowliness and meekness and kindness and tenderheartedness. Ephesians chapter 4 gives some of the best thumbnail on how we are to live with other people. It says, let me just give you a few little snippets from there. Speaking the truth in love. And then he goes on to say, if you've so learned him, been taught by him, put off the former conversations, the old man. Be renewed in your mind. Okay, and then he enumerates some of those. Put away lying. Speak every man truth. If you're angry, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't give place to the devil. Let him that stole quit that, but work hard that you can have to give to somebody else. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. If it just tears people down and makes people miserable, and then it's just quit talking like that. It says that we're to use our mouth to edify or lift up people, to minister grace to the hearers. So you see, it gives us some very practical way to live. But that's wherefore, because of chapters 1, 2, and 3, therefore we can do 4, 5, and 6. But it doesn't mean like once you quit stealing and once you quit lying and once you quit, then God will give you all this exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ. No, it's the other way around. God makes all this available to us. And because we have been so highly blessed and favored, therefore, we should walk like it. If that's who we are, then, you know, if your father won the lottery and was a multimillionaire, you're not going to be driving the old junker around, and you're not going to be, you know, begging for scraps and going through looking for the dollar menu. Why? Because you don't have to live like that anymore. But it's like you don't, because he has made you rich, not just in financially, but rich in spiritual things and things of the heart and the spirit, therefore we can afford to be kind, to be gracious. That's how we show him we appreciate what's done. I know I've kind of gone off on a tangent, but many of the epistles are written this way. Ephesians is, God makes plain by the way he organizes it that he does for us, and therefore out of gratitude. So it isn't a work. God doesn't bless us because we tithed. We tithe, we give back. Because he has so abundantly blessed us, how could I not share out of that abundance to him and to others who need? There's a shift there, and we can be very works-oriented. Okay, so now we're in the heart of this book, and we're going to be looking for this Easter hunt. We saw that all of the clues leading up to this. There's a great mystery, and this mystery is in Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at it a little bit, then we're going to go back to another epistle that also talks about the same thing. These epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, are a set of three. Ephesians lays it out. Colossians is almost like a recap, a restating of it. So you will find that Ephesians and Colossians will be almost identical in many ways. And so we're going to look at these two, because this Romans, okay, it's Romans, Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians lay forth the doctrine, and we'll again, Romans and Galatians, I'll skip the middle ones, the two groups of three, we'll skip the middle one for the moment. But Romans lays forth this great doctrine of that it's not by the works that man did, but it is by God, God's grace. It is not the letter of the law, but the spirit that was at work in Jesus. And that's what then Galatians says, restates that. So then we come to Ephesians, which talks about being saved by grace, and Colossians reiterates that. So they take on these major doctrinal things and set them forth. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. I hope I've not gotten you so weighed down with all that. We've lost where we were going, that we are going with our mystery, our Easter hunt. We're going to ferret out. We're going to uncover. We're going to discover what God has concealed for us for this Easter in these scriptures. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to just read 1 through 10 for you. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Lord Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Okay, so he's addressing Christians that were not Jews first. If you have heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given to me, given me to you word, how that by revelation, and remember I told you there are some things God hides and nobody can find it out until he gives the revelation. What God accomplished in at Calvary and at the resurrection and the ascension was done, and it was glorious, but it was only later when Paul reveals the mystery, because God revealed it to him, that we understand the magnitude of what occurred. By the revelation, he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So he keeps talking about the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, all that Old Testament, was not made known unto the sons of man, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Means there were hints of it, but then there were also times where he says he was going to smash the nations and yada, 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 yada. But there were hints of it, but it has been, God has guarded it jealously. But now it is being revealed. Paul doesn't say me alone. You don't trust doctrine that only one man gets. Sorry for that, for those of you who wonder about, let me not go there. But anyway, it's been revealed to many of the apostles and prophets, hasn't it? Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. Verse 6, and here it is. Here's the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers. That means fully take, not just get the crumbs from the table, but pull your chair right up to the table and get your share, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That means we're talking about those things that couldn't have been found out. They are untrackable. They're unsearchable. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There's a mystery, and from this mystery comes a great fellowship. Fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. This is our Easter hunt. God hid this in himself from the beginning of the world, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. So he talks about this mystery that has been hidden from the beginning in God, in himself, but now is being revealed, and there's a fellowship with this mystery. He put it into a few words when he said the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, not just blessed alongside. Remember how the temple was set up, that there was the outer court, and anybody could go there. Everybody, the pious Gentiles could be there, women could be there. There was the inner court, which only the sanctified men of Israel could be there. And then there was the holies, which is where the priests were, and the Holy of Holies, where only the priest entered once a year. So everyone was welcome. But you had to stay in the outer court. most of us would have been stuck in the outer courts. But now we are fellow heirs and of the same body, the same. Now that you can read Ephesians 2, you know, and you'll see how that he broke down the middle wall of partition. And that's what there were in the temple. There were partitions. There were walls in between these gates. And he's quite literally saying he broke down the middle wall of partition between us. So now we can all mingle together. Okay. So I know my time is running. Well, I'm going to look at that just for a minute or two here. Okay. Now, after we're saved. Wherefore, remember, in time past, Gentiles of the flesh were called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision, flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. It's like you got a green card. You're not a citizen of heaven, but you might get a visa to live there. That's basically what they're saying. We've got we're talking all the difference between immigration now and immigrants, but this makes you a citizen. And when you're a citizen, nobody can kick you out. They might put you in jail if you've been bad, but they can't kick you out the country, can they? That we were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, ye who were sometimes afar off, that is in the outer court, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He is our peace. This is what he did at Calvary. He is our peace. Oh, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the hatred. Enmity is like not just hatred, it's like undying hatred. It's we are at odds. We are adversaries constantly. Anyway, to make to enmity the law, commandments, and ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, that's our quote-unquote Good Friday, having slain the enmity thereby, not just your personal individual sins, but those things that have separated us as peoples, especially in this time where we seems to be the divisions between groups and ethnicities and nations is becoming perilously high. We see that Jesus at Calvary broke it down, that all people are the same in Christ. Okay, now I know my time's going. So now we're going to round up with Colossians. I hope you've been enjoying our Easter hunt. This is, to me, some of the most powerful and beautiful and meaningful scriptures in the entire Bible. This is a Christmas gift and an Easter gift all rolled into one. This was the end result he had planned from the beginning. It's not just about, oh, your sins are forgiven, or, oh, you have right to healing, or you have... We, not just you as an individual, but that the gates have been broken off the doors of the gateposts. Remember when Samson, they woke him up, and he not only took the gate, he took the posts that the gates hung on, picked him up, put him on his shoulder, and removed them. To me, that's a picture of what Jesus did on Calvary. Okay, so now Colossians. We're going to round up our Easter hunt looking at Colossians chapter 1. Let's start with verse 25. This will sound similar, but this has some things in it that I hope make you shout today. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, verse 26, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. This is our Easter hunt. It's been hidden. not from us, but for us, to whom God would make known, that's to us, he wants to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the saints, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What do we have in our basket? Christ in you, the hope of glory. What the Lord had hid in his own little hip pocket that nobody knew about was this marvelous, marvelous mystery that from the beginning he had planned. And he let little hints out, but nobody could see. Even the apostles on the day of the resurrection were rejoicing he was alive, but had no idea that this was going to break down the barriers between people and make us all one, and not just one, but the gift of Christ in us. Not just that we are servants or dependents or charity cases, but we are sons, we are brothers of the King Most High. I just want to encourage you today to dig in and hunt these things out. This is a mystery worth finding out. This is a hunt for Easter. And the end result in our basket is what? The hope of glory. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. May you have the most blessed and beautiful and meaningful Easter you have ever had. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking forward to being with you next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's G-I-T-M Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him